71st Christmas.
Yes.
Thank God for every one of them. I thank God because I haven't had the greatest life. I haven't had a bad life. I've had a great life.
Amen.
I don't think there's anybody. Someone might be have a lot more money than they. They probably had more stuff, but they haven't necessarily had a greater life.
Yeah, amen.
I'm sure that whether they're billionaires or not, they have not had any more joyful days than I've had. And they haven't had any, you know, and certainly God has kept us. And we haven't had a whole lot of tragedy. And we've had some, but not a whole lot. And God has just been good to us.
Yes, He is. He's been good, yes.
Tonight I want to look at a couple of scriptures, and it's good to have a sturdy as well tonight. I thank God for you. And pray God just bless you real good. Praying for Aaron, who broke his arm a couple of places. Pray God take care of that. Pastor Johnson's son. For all those who are sick and infirm,
yes,
and all those who need a miracle, I believe in a miracle working God.
Yes.
I thank God for His goodness, and I thank God for His mercy. I want to look in Isaiah 53 tonight for a moment to start, and then I'm going to do that along with Luke, the second chapter. And Ephesians, Luke, the second chapter. And I'm also going to look at Ephesians chapter 1. And then Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and it talks about Jesus Christ. And we more so relate this scripture to Easter and to the resurrection than we do the birth of Christ. But I want to look at it tonight because I want to ask the question that it asks. And it says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? In other words, who hath believed on the gospel to the point where the power of God is revealed?
Yeah.
Not who has heard about it enough, read about it enough, studied it enough, but who has believed it to the point where the power of God is revealed. Who has believed to the point where the Spirit is able. You know, we listen to the Word of God, but probably most of us, especially my generation. It's hard to find somebody in my generation who's never, ever been to church. They might not be in church now, but they've been. Because the generation preceding me was a church. They had church since slavery. But we have gotten to a point now where I'm very concerned because I watch how we're teaching and even in this organization and throughout. And I'm looking at the reaction of young people. And you can see on one hand, I just put the Word of God out there and it's just let the Word of God just fall where it may. You need to look and see if your Word is having any results. You need to know whether or not you're reaching people or not. Whether or not, you know, and you it's kind of a balancing act. You're going back and forth to the Word of God to make sure you're preaching the Word of God. You're reaching out to the Holy Spirit to make sure that even though when you're preaching the Word of God, that you're preaching it in the Spirit.
Right. Yes.
So that the life of God is going. And then you're looking at the people because you want to know, like Isaiah said, you know, who hath believed the report.
Yes.
And he writes over, and Paul says it when he writes it over in Romans, and Isaiah says it. He says, they have not all believed because they have not obeyed.
Yeah, yeah.
In other words, they have heard what I had to say, and they've listened to what we've had to say, and they can quote it, and we can require them to remember it, but they haven't believed it because it hasn't brought about an obedience.
Yes, yeah.
It hasn't moved in their spirit yet.
Yes.
The power of God has not been revealed in them yet. In other words, it hasn't become a reality to them yet. It is like my study of the cosmos. They might be out there, they might not be. But and for many people, and I'm looking at all the young people, and we're teaching and preaching to them, and I'm wondering how many people really, really believe in the resurrection. I didn't say how many people had heard of the resurrection. I said how many people really believe it. Because when you believe in the resurrection from the dead, the Holy Ghost comes in and saves you.
Yeah, yes.
And it isn't this point where I've got to conjure up the Holy Ghost and get him to come in. No, it's an automatic thing. When you believe on the resurrection of Jesus Christ,
right,
when you believe that He's the Son of God, or when you, I didn't say when you find out about it.
Right.
I didn't say when you heard about it. I didn't say when you know about it. I didn't say when you read it. I said when you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Yes.
And that God the Father has raised Him from the dead. When you believe that.
Yes.
And you make the confession, I am sure that Jesus is the Son of God. And
yes.
I am sure that He lives because God the Father raised Him from the dead. When you believe that, the Holy Ghost comes in.
Yes.
And you don't have to tarry for Him, and you don't have to do a whole, you know, this is the, you know, because when you believe that, He comes in and a change comes.
Yes.
And the Word of God starts to not only be something that you learn. Anyone who goes past now kindergarten can read, but just reading the words, there's a difference between reading the Word of God and having the Word of God revealed. It says in Ephesians, the first chapter, he's praying that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. As it says in Ephesians, Ephesians 1 and somewhere down in there. Ephesians 1 and 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. What the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints. I want the verse before that, 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation, and I'm going to get to what I'm talking about in a minute. The spirit of the Holy Spirit, you know, wisdom and revelation. And there are two, you know, and he says both, because sometimes I'm looking at a lot of how people preach now, and I thank God for every preacher who will call the name of Jesus. I don't care who it is. I thank God for everybody who will open a Bible and read a scripture from Jesus. And I pray that the Spirit will move with them, and they'll have enough purity in their word, in their means, and in their method that God will move. So I'm not knocking any of them, but we have to be very careful, because there are two things that are here. One is the wisdom of God. This is where we're growing to be like Him and do all those things and to know God and everything. And then there's the revelation part. This is the part where things become real.
Yes.
Where heaven becomes a reality. It has been revealed. It's not something that you're hoping for, but you know heaven is real because in the Spirit, heaven has been revealed through the way God has moved in you. In other words, it is no longer a mystery, and it's not something you hope is real.
Yes.
You know that it's real.
Yes.
It's the reality
yes.
of it.
Yes.
And Isaiah writes when he talks about Christ is coming, and he talks about them, and he talks about him even before he comes, and he says, you know, who's believing that God's going to send his Son to save us from our sins? And he says in this, those that have believed, he says, to whom has the power of God been revealed?
Yes.
Who has figured out that through God sending his Son, that the power of God is revealed so that we're set free from sin, and the yoke is broken and our sins are forgiven? And one of the biggest things that has to be revealed in you is how the blood cleanses from all sin.
Yes.
Otherwise, your repentance doesn't work, and your conscience isn't cleared when it should be, and you don't get the comfort that you should have after you've come to God. And there's just so much of it. When you're hanging on to trying to believe what someone has told you without it being revealed in you.
Right. Yes, yeah.
That's what comes down to, Chandra. That's when you have faith.
Yes, and when you believe for yourself.
That's when it comes to the point where you will say, the secret things belong to God, and I might not understand everything, because it says in all thy getting get a good understanding. And even in our understanding, we understand that we don't know all things.
Okay.
And that's when it comes down to a point where you have to say, I don't need anybody else. You know, I'm it's not helping me for you trying to keep explaining to me how the resurrection works. I don't need you to explain to me how it works. What I need to know is that it happened.
Yep. Yes, yes.
And I don't need for you to, he's made me to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus in the Spirit. And it's not something that I can lock down and logically explain to you how I'm here and I'm sitting in heaven at the same time, how Christ is here and Christ dwells in me and I dwell in him. I can't give you the clarity of it, but I know that it's true.
True, yep. Yes.
I can sense him in me. I know that the Spirit says to me, I know that I've yielded, my conscience is purged and has been yielded to the Spirit, because even the small gentle registers, it's like a seismometer or a seismograph or whatever that measures for earthquakes, just a very gentle rumbling of the earth, something that you never feel is moving in the earth, and it registered everyone. And as you grow in God and grow in the Spirit, just the small things that are grievous to God, the Holy Ghost and seismometer or whatever in your conscience says to you, you're not going to die and go to burning hell for that, but you know that's just something that God wishes you would do a little bit differently.
Right. Yeah, yes.
And that's something that God will leave you with, and you can stay saved with that. Your name won't get blotted out in heaven. You'll be all right with God. But if you really wanted to follow the perfect will of God, that's probably something God would prefer that you not do.
Yeah.
And you grow to a point where after a while where you start to say, you stop saying something told me, and you start to know.
Yeah, there's the Holy Spirit, yes.
It's the Holy Ghost who's saying this to me.
Yes.
And you start to know his voice so that when another voice speaks that's not his, you know it's not him.
Yeah.
Because when he comes, he always comes. And he doesn't mind proving himself to you because he comes and reminds you, and his proof is always in the Word of God. And he doesn't mind you challenging him when he says such and such, because he's able to substantiate, in other words, he's able to certify everything that he says according to the Word of God. So he doesn't have a problem with me saying, Lord, is that you? Because he quickly brings back to my mind those things. This is why the Bible is so important. And he lets me know that it's him and the reality of him, so that when I talk about heaven, I'm not just talking about what I have heard about it, and I've read about it, and I've studied about it, but I know that heaven is real. It is more real than earth, since heaven was there before.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
So when he says in Ephesians, he says to them that they would get the Spirit's, the eyes of their understanding, they would get the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The Spirit of wisdom and revelation, because it takes more than me just hearing about Christ. And this is what we sometimes think. Sometimes, if we just get the information, it saves us. It isn't the information that I have that saves me. It's the information that I believe.
Yes.
It's what has created faith in me, so that I trust in God above all else. So that at the end of all things, the end of God's hand is peace. So that when nothing seems to work out right, it's the part of me in me. And my faith in God and trust in God says, but it might not be working now, but it's going to be all right.
Yeah. Yes.
At some point in time, no matter how, it's going to be all right.
Right, yes.
Sometimes you look at people sometimes, they seem like they're going to get away with murder forever. And the Spirit of me says, no, there's a day of reckoning for them too.
Right. Yeah, yes.
Might not be right now, but we do have a supreme judge.
Yes.
God is a righteous judge. So he says in Isaiah, he says this, and I want to look in Luke the second chapter now, and I'll finish. Luke the second chapter, and in the 8th verse it talks about the shepherds abiding in the field. Now, and I want to talk about tonight, although they know there is some 500, almost 600 years between the last prophet's writing, which is Malachi, and the time of Jesus Christ, 500 years since that time, 800 years from Isaiah, 2,000 years from Abraham, and in all this span of time, you always have people who are trusting in God that he's going to send his son. You always have some that know that the only deliverance that we have is the Savior. When you read in the Kings and in Chronicles, you find out that as soon as Israel backslides and all their kings become idolaters, Judah picks it up, and Judah keeps rolling along for a long time, all the way through Josiah and through Hezekiah and out of nine of their kings, and they'll drop it from time to time. But then you'll do like Josiah, somebody will go into the ruins of the temple, and they'll stumble around and fumble around and find the books of the law, and they'll bring them out.
Yes.
And when you have the Holy Ghost, when the Word of God is revealed in you, it creates a reaction like it did in him. And he wept and he said, we need to clean this up. We need to obey God. When you have the Holy Ghost and the Spirit comes in and says, you need to fix yourself up. You need to do something different. You agree with him. You say, I need to do something.
Yes. Yes.
So there's always been someone
who
would rectify that the Holy Ghost could send. And then in Haggai, when he uses Jerubbaal, and he uses Joshua, and he cleans him up and uses him, and it just keeps rolling and rolling. And then we get down to the time since the garden is promised in the garden. You know, at the time of the fall is promised so many years ago. And everybody, even now, if you really, if your name is written on high and you know it, if you have the Holy Ghost and you know it, if you're saved and you know it, then you've got this expectation that Jesus is going to come. And of a truth, you know, it isn't that I'm going home tonight and I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to sit on the edge of my bed and look for Jesus. I'm not going to do that. But I have an earnest expectation that he's coming.
Yeah, I'm looking for him.
I don't know when. Yeah. But I need to be the sort of person that when he does come, someone will say to me, you need to make sure that you don't fight with Ellis Smith, because while you're mad, Jesus has come. I'm not worried about that. The blood takes care of that, the grace of God. He knows how we are. We can't just be in abject sin. We can't be in such a condition that the Holy Ghost has departed from us. Otherwise, we won't hear the trumpet sound. You can't be such a person in such a state that the Holy Ghost no longer speaks to you.
Yeah.
You can't be the sort of person dangerously who doesn't like to, as it says in Romans, retain God in your knowledge. You gotta always, as the song says, always remember Jesus. Always keep him on your mind. We do different things. We recreate from time to time, and we take trips, and we do a lot of things, and we can play games and bowl and do whatever we do. But then when we sell down, the Holy Ghost comes back and reminds us of Jesus, and then we just quietly say, thank you, Lord. He never lets him. He's like a child who goes out of the house without the parents. You know, you go in and you know, you go out you with your friends and everything, but you know how to come home. And he always has someone. So when Jesus finally comes, it's not that they have some. Absolute, he's going to show up on this night or this day, but they do know he's coming. So that when the angels come down and the shepherds in the field, and I can only imagine what it's like to be out here at night, and you should want this, because this is the light that comes to you when the Lord saved you. It's a bright light that you sense. Not in a physical sense, but you sense the presence and the power of God when the Lord saved you. And when you finally, you have this wrestling in your mind when the Lord is saying it's time to come and it's time to be saved, and you're giving all the excuses you can give because you're trying to resist the hand of God. But finally, when he overwhelms you, you should be so glad that he does. And he gives you a mind and says, Lord, save me. And there's a cathartic effect that comes from that, and makes you feel clean, and makes you feel different, and makes you feel fresh, and makes you have hope, and causes you to go on. As you're in the middle of the night, when we see this in the physical, it's like at the middle of the, it's like, I don't know if the middle of the night is, or whether it's just dark early, or whatever it is, but when they're there, all of a sudden everything lights up. Can you imagine having an experience like that? And when the angels come, you know, when they came to tell people Jesus is coming, they didn't go to anybody who didn't believe.
That's right. They did.
They didn't show up at Caiaphas' house.
Yeah.
They didn't bother to wake up Annas.
Yeah.
They didn't show up at the temple.
Yeah.
Weren't in the Sanhedrin. They just went to the people whose hearts were pure. Because we read a long time ago, Isaiah wrote it. Chronicles, he wrote it. He says, the Lord, the eyes of the Lord, go to and fro throughout the world, seeing who he can strengthen himself with.
Yes.
Those whose heart is pure. Yes. God is always looking for someone that he can work with, that he can
give his power to it. Someone that will go along with him. The eyes of the Lord is looking for someone who will be able to go along with God. And he'll get in there and put his anointing with you because you don't have one. And he'll strengthen himself with you. But you gotta have your motives have to be pure. Your heart has to be pure.
Yeah, yes.
And out here on this night, there's some shepherds who are real pure.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they can have that much light and that much going on, and all heaven is rejoicing because everyone wants to see God's Son, and yet not everyone sees the light, but the shepherds do. It's like when the Word of God is being preached and the Spirit is moving, not everybody sees the light, but those in whom the Holy Ghost dwells, we hear. When the Lord says something, everybody who's on the Lord's side, you hear it. When the Lord says something, everybody who loves God, you can sense it. When the Spirit is moving, everybody who loves the Lord, they know He's moving.
Yes, hallelujah.
They come with a great message.
Yes.
And they tell them the Christ is born.
Yes.
And then over about verse number 20 to 25, and behold, there was the man of Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And Simeon is living, waiting on the Savior.
Yes.
And it seems to be that his one desire in life is to be alive when the Christ comes.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Isn't it something when you get your life to the point where your one desire in life is to be around when the Christ comes?
Yeah, yes,
yes.
Is this something? Yes. He says to them, he tells them when he comes, as soon as he sees Jesus, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit. Everything this man does is in the Spirit.
Yes.
Holy Ghost tells him he's going to see the Lord. And he's a very old age by now, and he's holding on because the Spirit said that in my lifetime, I'm going to see God.
Yeah.
I'm going to see God, son.
Yes, yes.
I wish the Lord would say to me, in my lifetime, Jesus is going to come.
Yes,
and
that's right.
But I'm looking for him anyway.
Yes.
But he says, in his lifetime, and he says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom and under the circumcising, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. My eyes have seen my
salvation. Yes.
See, there's the difference between talking about faith and having it.
Yeah, that's true.
If there's, you know, I can explain to you all the components that's in a Rolls Royce, but I don't have one.
Yes.
There's a difference in being able to tell me what faith is like and being able to tell me all the steps of faith, and I'm in favor of it, and all of it is true. But it's not just a matter of knowing about it and explaining it to me. You gotta have it. You know, faith is not something that you just talk about and you explain about, and there's so many books written on it. I mean, there's volumes of books telling you how to have faith. Volumes of books giving you testimonies of faith, and volumes of books explaining to me how to have a faithful Christian walk and this and that. And I'm not knocking any of them, because while one person can't reach somebody else, somebody else can. So keep on writing.
Right.
Yeah.
But somewhere down the line, you gotta try God. Somewhere along the line, you have to step out of the boat. Somewhere along the line, it's not enough just to know volumes of Watchman Nee. You have to incorporate it. Somewhere along the line, it's not enough just to know the Jesus Christ. You know, it's not enough just to say, here rose. It's not enough. You got to really come to it where you really believe Jesus Christ lives.
Yes.
And then when you come to it that Jesus Christ lives, that's when you get to the point that everybody who died in Christ, you stop seeing them laying in the coffin, and you start saying, because of the resurrection, they live.
Yes.
I was thinking about today, and I'm almost finished, because the other person I was going to talk about tonight is Anna.
And she's a very old woman, and she knows that Jesus is
coming.
You know, she knows when she sees Jesus, she knows who he is.
Yes.
Everybody who has the Holy Ghost, they know who he
is. Yes.
When John the Baptist sees him walking up as a grown person, he knows who he
is.
All these other years, he just walks among people. And there are a few people who recognize who he, you know, who probably recognize who he is. And Mary and Joseph don't say anything because they're not supposed to, because they're protecting him. Even his brothers don't know who he is. His sisters don't know who he is. But those who have the Holy Ghost, they do.
You know, yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
You can talk about the resurrection, but only those who have the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
What it is.
Yes.
Right. It gives you hope when you don't have any other hope.
You say, well, that's all right.
I don't get healed. I'll be healed in the resurrection. I was thinking about today. The resurrection is a great equalizer.
Yes,
doesn't matter if you're rich or if you're poor. The resurrection is the equalizer. Some people have strong bodies and they live to be 100 years old. Some people die with cancer in their 20s and 30s. But if they've got God, the resurrection is a great equalizer. Because when they're resurrected from the dead, even if you die at 24, you have an immortal body. If you die at 100, you're in Christ, you got an immortal body. If you die poor, you're the same in the resurrection. If you died rich, it's a great equalizer. It doesn't matter what color you are, whatever it is. The resurrection will all have it. It's a great equalizer. Sometimes you might say, why is my life like this? Well, I don't know why your life is like this, but I know when you can get it leveled all out.
Yes.
In the resurrection. Amen.
In the resurrection.
Yes.
Why is it that some people have strong bodies, other people do not? Well, it's not because of sin. It's not because of sins. It's because we're mortal. Why do some people have allergies and others that don't? You can say, well, allergies are from evil spirits. You might be telling the truth, but why are some people plagued and others are not?
Yes.
But that's all right. Maybe you'll get a healing, maybe you won't, but in the resurrection,
it's
an equalizer.
That's all right.
We all have perfect health, perfect
speech,
perfect air, perfect everything in the resurrection. We all, it's an equalizer. In the resurrection, we are all just as rich as the other. I think some people think when they get to heaven, they're going to maintain their status. And they're going to be above everyone. No, we'll all be equal. Some people will have a job over here. Some will reign over there. Some will over there. But we're in the resurrection, we will all be one in God. And there'll be no respect to person. This is written in the Bible. Wonder why I never knew my father, but in heaven. Resurrection, I know my father is. Wonder why I never had this and never had that, but in the resurrection, I have everything everybody else has.
Yes, that's right. All be equal.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
When Jesus comes,
yes.
No one was looking for him.
Yes.
But there were some people who were expecting him.
Yeah. Yes.
Some people had the grace like Simeon.
Yes.
The God, he would let them know he's coming in your lifetime.
Yes.
All right.
Some people, Anna's either 84 or 105, depending on how you read it.
Yeah.
I'd rather give 105 because it says she's a great age.
Yes.
But she knows when she hears Jesus cry, she knows who he is.
Yes.
Simeon knows he has the birth. He says when Jesus comes, he says there's going to be a great persecution among those who don't believe. He knew that when Jesus came, Herod was going to try and kill him. They knew what they had to do. Joseph's following the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Man moves four times with God's Son, moving them out of the way of the devil.
Yes.
Because they knew who he was. And then
when he
in his 30th year, when he walks up, John the Baptist introduces him.
Yes.
No one was expecting him on that day, but they knew he was coming.
Yes.
I want to encourage everybody.
Come on, Jesus.
I don't know when Jesus is coming back.
He's coming.
It is a given to me to know.
Yeah.
But I do know he's coming.
Yes.
I know one thing. If I live my life expecting him coming, if I should die before he comes to me, I will surely go to him.
Yes.
Yes, I do know.
Yes, amen.
So I thank God for such a you can stand. I love Christmas because I love the Lord Jesus Christ coming. I love to think around and listen to distracted because they get gifts due to we got some of the shamans, gift givers, people I know. And I love every bit of it. You know, we've been loading up our trees forever. Got about 10 of them in the house. But you know what? I love the holiday because I love who it represents.
Yes, right. Yes.
I see people, you know, you dress up your house. And the big thing in the world today is, and I'm not knocking if you do it, it's okay, you don't have a problem, you can do it all year. But I have some of you, you know, they say, well, I celebrate my birthday all month. Well, that's wonderful. Now, how long do you celebrate Christ's birthday?
All right.
If you celebrate your birthday all month, my Lord, doesn't he deserve a day? One day out of the year. So, well, I'm not sure that's his birthday. I'm not sure that's yours.
I told you.
But if you put on Facebook and you say, you know, wish me happy birthday, you know what I'll say? Happy birthday, God bless you. And I'll get right into it and tell you, I hope you had a very good one. But when it comes to Christ and his importance to me,
yes. This
is the Savior.
Yes.
For unto you is born this day
a Savior. Yes.
Go back and read the words again.
Yes.
For unto you is born this day a Savior. Unto you is born this day my Savior.
Yes.
This is Christ the Lord.
Yes, Christ the Lord. Yes.
Praise his name. Father, I come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Lord, I thank God for everyone who's here. The Lord, you said we're any two or three or four or five gathered in your name, O Lord. Lord, you'd be in the midst of it. Lord, we are surely here in your name. We thank you for your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you sent him, Lord, on our behalf.
Yes, my behalf.
But Lord, he came for no other reason but to
save
us. Lord, I thank you so much. Lord, I thank you for the mind and for the grace of God.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you, Lord, that the arm of the Lord has been revealed to me.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that Christ is not just someone I've heard about, but someone I know. I thank you, oh God, that the word of God is not just words on paper. Lord, in this life.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for your precious Holy Spirit, oh God, who gives life to all that I read and all that I hear. Lord, I pray, Lord, you bless the saints tonight. Lord, first of all, Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, forgive everybody.
Yes.
Lord, all those who will come unto you, Lord, forgive them and wash them in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, for thy grace and mercy upon them, oh God. Then, Lord, as many as will hear your word, Lord, draw them to the foot of the cross and, Lord, save them. Lord, no matter how evil they are, Lord, the cure is to save them. Lord, no matter how hateful they are, Lord, the cure is to save them. Lord, no matter what their lives are like, Lord, the key is to set them free from sin and save them. Lord, but when you save people, Lord, you win and the devil loses. Lord, save them, oh God. Lord, stretch forth thy hand and save them. Lord, once you forgive them their sins, Lord, heal them. Lord, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord, heal them that you would be glorified, Lord, that your power would be known, O God. Stretch forth thy hand to heal, Lord, by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. All those who, Lord, who've been infirm for a long time, all those, Lord, who've been sick for a while, Lord, give them a healing. Lord, give them a miracle. Lord, heal them, O God. Lord, you're a healer. You're a redeemer. Lord, you are able to do all things. Love with you. Nothing is impossible, O God. Lord, heal them. Lord, I have not given up, Lord. My faith says that you're a healer, O God. Lord, if not now in the resurrection, but Lord, we would see your hand today, Lord, to increase our faith. Lord, my faith is in you, O God. Lord, in you I will trust. Lord, in you I will trust, O God. Lord, bless all the saints, Lord, through this season, Lord, through this holiday season, through this Christmas season. Lord, through this time that we talk about coming with our blessings on Jesus Christ. Lord, warm our hearts, O God. Lord, make us more like him.
Yes.
Do all, Lord, according to your will, O God. Lord, keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger, and all tragedy during this time. Lord, keep the saints safe, O God. All those around them, O Lord. Stretch forth your hands of mercy. Extend to all that we touch in our lives, O God. Make us all way home. Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank the Lord. I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I pray you have a really great day.